like to read two passages of Scripture. The first is from the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 19. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony and displaying. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. And then also, I'd like to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Here again, God's Word. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then if you turn to the book of Isaiah, to the 26th chapter and the 19th verse, Isaiah 26 and verse 19. This is the text I've chosen for this evening, Isaiah 26, 19. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. May God be pleased to bless to us His word here in Isaiah and in those portions which we've already read. I suppose it was a few months ago when I was passing through some of the books in the stacks of the library in the second floor, and Dr. Speer was coming in, and he was wearing a t-shirt and some jogging shorts and some tennis shoes, and there was sweat on his brow, and he'd been out jogging. I didn't realize this until just a few days ago that he was a cross-country runner in his younger days. But at any rate, he had been out running, and he says, you've got to do these things to stave off old age if you can. And we went on, and I remembered that little incident because I think all of us at one time or another have thought the same thing, that there are different things that we need to do to stave off old age if we can. In our culture today, there is a lot of enthusiasm about exercise and about going to the gym and going to exercise clubs. And there's also a lot of enthusiasm about taking vitamins and various kinds of supplements. We're quite consumed with our bodies, and especially young people are. The young ladies want that hourglass shape, and the young men want this V shape, you know, that portrays the strength of a young and strong body. But then when we get a little bit older, our attitude toward these things does shift a little bit. Is that not the case? And we get to the stage, it seems to me, where we're not trying to stave off death so much as we're wishing to discard this body. And there are many Christians, even in their younger years, who are interested in getting rid of the body. They think it's an encumbrance. They think it's just a prison house in which we find ourselves. And as I say, and you will empathize with this, that as we get a little bit older, we're ready to depart the body and to be with the Lord. We want to bypass death, as it were, and get rid of the body. Well, the Bible has a little bit different perspective on this whole matter. The Bible's perspective is that there's victory over death through the resurrection of the body. And for those of you who trust in Jesus Christ, this is the promise, that you will have victory over death through the resurrection of the body. And this is what the text speaks about this evening in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Now, this piece of Isaiah, this wonderful promise, has to do with the end of time. And this whole section, as a matter of fact, in Isaiah has to do with the end of time. Isaiah was called by God 700 years before Christ. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the message that he had for Israel and for Judah was that if they didn't straighten up as far as their lives were concerned before God, that is, if they did not forsake their sin, judgment was going to come. That was kind of the near-term prediction. But God also had a long-range plan. And part of the long-range plan we see in this section of Isaiah on the backdrop of sin and judgment. And in chapter 25 and verses 6 and following, Isaiah speaking says this, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the people on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over the peoples and the veil which is stretched over the nations. He will swallow up death for all times, and the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited." And Christ will come a second time in glory. And this is the context of the end in which Isaiah speaks. And the context of the end is resurrection. And it's very interesting that throughout the Bible, we find this theme of the resurrection from the dead. It's not just a New Testament theme, but as we're looking at it tonight, it comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. And we know from the New Testament that that is the theme. And we have to take a step back sometimes to think it through. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection, and he says that the gospel is in these words, Christ died for sin according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say that his disciples saw him. And in addition, he goes on to say that there were 500 people that saw him at one time. And he says, well, some of them are asleep, but imagine this now. Over 500 individuals saw him. And it's almost as though the Apostle Paul was saying, go ahead, talk to them if you want. They're around, they're witnesses, they can talk about it. Go visit with them. And one of the reasons that we believe in the resurrection of the dead is that we have in the Bible the record of these eyewitness accounts. And the Bible gives us this. It's very clear. When I was in a class several years ago in Orlando, and each one of us were required to give a little sermon, one of the men stood up and he had on the podium a flower. And as he progressed in his little message, he took the flower out of the bud vase and held it in his hand. And he began to pluck the petals off the flower. And you know what he did with the petals? He put them in his mouth. He began to eat them. And yeah, I've done this. I should have brought a flower, shouldn't I? he said to the congregation, now, if you go home and tell the people that pastor stood up today in the pulpit and ate a flower, what's the reaction most of the people will have? Oh, come on, he didn't do that. But suppose now, one by one, 500 different people walked by and said, you know what pastor did in the pulpit today? He ate a flower. After 500 people came by and told you that, what would you say? must be true, right? Must be true. Paul says 500 people saw Jesus Christ. Is that a good enough testimony? Must be true, you see. And in this text tonight, in the book of Isaiah, we are before that time, looking ahead to what would take place. And what is the prediction with regard to the resurrection? And what is the prediction with regard to the resurrection of people like you and me? That victory over the grave is going to include your body and my body in the grave. Look at the text again. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Bible says. And, dear friends, we need to understand very clearly the testimony of the Bible here. Listen to the shorter catechism in this regard. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? Now, some of you could give me that answer without too much difficulty. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. Their bodies, being still united to Christ. Is this body just to be cast away? No. This body is united to Christ. As much as your soul is united to Christ through faith, your body is united to Christ also. That's the testimony of Scripture. And the Scripture says, your dead will live, and their corpses will rise. Now, there's an interesting thing in the translation here, because the second line could be translated this way. My corpse will rise. God is saying, my corpse will rise. What does he mean by that? He means that the body of Jesus Christ will arise from the dead. And the body of Jesus Christ is composed of what? People like us. People like us. And when the body is placed in the grave, it is placed in the grave to await the resurrection from the dead. And when we place a body in the grave at the burial service, we do it as a testimony to our faith in the fact that Christ will come a second time in glory and the dead will be raised. Here is an often repeated piece of the burial service. Listen to it. For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God in his wise providence to take out of this world the soul of our sister, we therefore commit her body to the ground, looking for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose coming in glorious majesty the earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the mortal bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and be made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. This is the hope. This is the promise. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. And what does this involve? Friends, this involves a reuniting. This resurrection involves a reuniting of the departed spirit with the body. Look at the end of verse 19. The earth will give birth to the departed spirits. That's how the New American Standard Version reads. The New King James says the earth will cast out the dead. And the word really is departed spirits there. And from what have they departed? They've departed the body. That's what death is. Death is a separation of body and spirit. We just read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul speaks about being absent from the body and being present with the Lord. But he speaks about that in a very interesting way, it seems to me. He says, we do not want to be unclothed. We'd rather be clothed upon. We don't want to be, as it were, naked. And what Paul is telling us is that this period in which the body and the soul are separated, that the theologians call the intermediate state, that this period in which the body and the soul are separated is not natural, that there must come a time in which body and soul are reunited. And that's the whole idea of resurrection. And so what this text is doing in Isaiah chapter 26 is putting together the idea of the corpse, the body being lifted up, and the departed spirit returning. And that's what happens at resurrection. And so this victory involves the return of the departed spirit. Look also at the text. Let's read it through again. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn. The earth will give birth to the departed spirits. You who lie in the dust, you see, the body and the spirit will be reunited, and you who lie in the dust will awake. I remember preaching at a funeral service for a fellow who was killed in Vietnam years ago. And this was a funeral service in which little hope was given at the service, and so I preached at the graveside. And I remember going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to preach on the resurrection at the graveside, to offer some hope to this family who had lost a dear loved one in the war. And I remember uttering words like this in the middle of that cemetery. But I believe that these graves will be opened and the dead will be raised, and the departed spirits will be reunited with those bodies, and that this cemetery will look like a plowed field after those graves are opened. And when the bodies are raised, the Bible tells us that they're raised in incorruption, and that we will be changed, and that we will be given spiritual bodies. No more of this flesh, but a body that Paul characterizes as a spiritual body. And you know, I think that means that we'll be given a body that is fit to live in a new realm, in a spiritual realm, in a heavenly realm. It's very curious as we look at how this world operates. The fish have bodies that are appropriate to live in the water, right? And they do quite well there. where some of us may be able to swim in the water a little bit, but in that watery world, we would not do very well for very long. And little earthworms have bodies to live underground. Now, I know in the Pittsburgh area, there are some people who grew up working in the mines, working underground. But it is for sure that they like to come out into the sunshine after working in those mines. And they knew that their bodies were not fit to live permanently underground. Well, you see, there are all sorts of different bodies. Paul talks about this also. And he reminds us that there is an earthly body and a heavenly body. And we're going to be given bodies at the resurrection that are fit for a new realm. And they're fit for the realm of the Spirit to be with God and to live with God in glory and peace forever and ever. Look at our text again. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Or as the King James Version says, the earth will cast out the dead. It's as though the earth will expel when Christ comes those whom the Lord loves to be with Him forever. And in the middle of this text that says, you who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, it reminds me of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. That's the resurrection theme. And this is exactly what will take place. And we will, the Scripture says, rejoice greatly. The conservative radio talk show host Glenn Beck has a daughter who is handicapped. And one day on the radio, he spoke about her and taking her to Special Olympics. And he said, you know, the children at the Special Olympics ran and jumped and laughed and played. He said, I couldn't understand how happy they were. And then he said, you know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to learn that those little children in their bodies that were deformed and handicapped were the really happy ones on this earth. I think that's what we're going to learn, because we really don't understand what joy is about. And I think there's something to what he had to say. And I think those little children, so happy, are giving us a picture of what the happiness and the joy of heaven will be about. This is the promise for you and for me, that if you love Jesus Christ, that if you love Jesus Christ, death will be overcome in you by the resurrection of the body. That's our text, and that's God's promise for you and for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the good promises that you give us. We rejoice in you and are happy because of the good word that you are pleased to give to us. Fill us with your spirit and a better understanding of what awaits us. And give us anticipation for the good things which are to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.